We have a good guest this, tonight, future Hall of Fame coach, my favorite basketball coach in the nation, Gary Williams. Welcome to Terp Talk.
Hey, thanks, Bruce. Appreciate the support.
Well, it's great to have you on, and got some good questions for you tonight. I had some email questions. Gary, you know, first of all, congratulations on Sean Mosley. You landed the number one player in Baltimore. What are your expectations of him? I know you don't look for a tremendous amount from freshmen, but this kid is special.
Well, he is. We've had freshmen come in and start before, like Keith Booth from Baltimore, Juan Dixon, you know, Joe Smith, people like that. And I think Sean is definitely going to have an impact right away. He could start, you know, his freshman year. That is not out of the possibility at all. But he, the reason being, he's physical, you know, for a freshman. He's built very well for 6'3", 6'4", size, and he knows how to play. At St. Francis, he had a great opportunity to play there. You know, and Mark Karcher became William Wells' assistant as time went on at St. Francis. And I think, you know, Mark's experience as that type of player, that they were very similar size-wise. Mark Karcher's a little heavier than Sean, but he played kind of the same position. And I think that really helped Sean.
Sean plays a lot bigger than that 6'4". I mean, I saw him guard at Henry Sims one night, and he held his own. This is a special kid, and what a nice kid, too. This guy's a winner. This guy's a winner, Gary.
Yes, I was there the same night, and you know, I saw him play against Henry Sims. And you know what I liked about Sean that night? He played the whole court. In other words, he brought it up, he rebounded, played defense against bigger guys, got them into their offense against some pretty good pressure from Mount St. Joe's. So he's one of those guys that plays beyond his years. You know, at 18 years old, he plays like he's a little older than that.
Gary, there's lots of talk about you running a three-guard or a four-guard offense this year. What's your philosophy going into the preseason? Or are we more likely to see a run-and-gun team, or are we going to see a ball-possession type team, or you just don't know yet?
Well, I think when practice starts October 17th, we'll get a pretty good clue. Right now, you're allowed 2 hours a week with the players. The NCAA changed that rule a couple of years ago, so you get a little bit of a feel, but I think we are strong at the perimeter positions. I've played that way before when I was coaching at American U. You could always get really good guards, but it was tough to get big guys. So, you know, we went with four guards quite a bit of the time. So it's a good way to play. Teams like Villanova have been very successful with it. Memphis at times this past year. Kansas employed four guards. So, you know, our guards are pretty big. You know, Sean Mosley at his size, Gregor Vasquez is 6'6", Eric Hayes is 6'3". Landon Milburn played the three last year at 6'6", so we've got some flexibility there in the backcourt, and if they're our best players, you have to get them on the court. So I think we'll be a lot more versatile than we were last year because we had two really good inside players with Abali Osby and James Gist.
Gary, I got Dino in here with me tonight. He's got a question for you.
Coach, we talked earlier about the effect of the ankle injury on Eric Hayes. Is he 100%? Do you expect his freshman shooting touch to return?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. You know, I'm not the type of coach that ever talks about injuries, but, you know, since last year's over, Eric has really he missed a crucial part of the season for him and for us, for that matter. And when you come back from any injury, but especially an ankle or a foot injury, you know, there's always that reluctance to go for a while on it. You're always thinking about coming down on somebody's foot, because that's how he did sprain his ankle. So, but now he's 100%. He had a great summer. He got a chance to play quite a bit with Steve Blake out on the West Coast. And I think Eric is a tougher player right now than he was last year. And I fully expect him as a junior to really, you know, see his shots more. I think there was times last year when he did pass up some shots that he could have taken, but you know, he was a little tentative after the ankle injury, and, you know, that's behind him now. And I think every player who's never really been hurt before goes through that. You know, you get tentative, and you got to work your way out of it.
That's great news.
Gary, I have a question emailed to me from Rex from Severna Park. He asked, does the flex work better with as many talented guards and small forwards as you have this year?
Well, I've run it with, you know, great big players like last year with Baxter and Wilcox and, you know, Taj Holden and those guys, and, you know, and we ran it at American U and, you know, had some really good wins there. So the big thing is when you have guards like Mosley and Vasquez and a Landon Milburn. You know, those guys can post up. Cliff Tucker's 6'5". Adrian Bowie's very strong. He's put on about 10 pounds of muscle at about 6'2". So, you know, there's a lot of ways to score. We've always been a pretty good transition team. So, you know, playing more guards certainly weren't hurt that. You know, it's the old story. People always talk about matchups, but they have to cover you, too. We played against some teams last year that were very difficult for us to cover because we had two big guys in the lineup. So I just want more flexibility this year. Braxton Dupree's really worked hard. He's dropped 15 pounds and, you know, is a much better athlete this year. We're doing some sprint work today, and, you know, he's making his times, which he just couldn't do last year. So I'm very encouraged with Braxton's development. And, you know, it's time for guys like, you know, Jerome Bernie to step up and see what we can do. And we've got a player who's really big at 6'9", about 260 from Chicago, and Steve Goins, who is ready to go, and he's starting to improve out there. And we'll see where he can be this year as a freshman.
Gary, speak about Dino Gregory. He's the other Baltimore guy, and, of course, we're in Baltimore. I'm just curious as to what role do you see him playing this year?
Well, I think Dino's going to play more, number one. I think he was, you know, it might be old school, but I really hope people don't really judge players until they get through their sophomore year.
Well, you've said that your whole career. I mean, you know, it's...
Well, in the 70s, you know, players didn't have to play varsity ball. I didn't have to play varsity ball my freshman year. And, you know, I can just imagine how tough it would have been to play as a freshman and all that. And so some guys are ready. You know, some guys are more advanced. Just their personality sometimes makes a big difference in their adjustment just to college life. People, you know, these guys, you know, we play a two-semester sport. And when you're a freshman, you come in here and you play, and you don't have the spring to get, you know, recover or whatever from the season. You go just about all year round now, and it's a tough deal. So I'm really pleased Dino has hung in there. He never complained last year, but, you know, he's made strides, and he's going to be on the court this year. So I'm really proud of him.
Speaking of Baltimore kids, I ran into Juan Dixon last week, and he is – very excited about coming to the Wizards, but he's also excited about being able to come to some Maryland games and being able to talk to the team. He was ecstatic about that, Gary.
Yeah, he's already been there. He was here last Thursday, or the day before he went to camp. He brought his wife and his new son, Corey, over. Corey actually had a ball in his hands. I mean, he's 6 months old now. And Juan was great. He talked to the players just about how much he cared about the school and what it meant to him to go to the University of Maryland. And I think he had an impact, you know, obviously coming from a guy that's playing in the NBA that has had the success that Juan had both in college and the pros. You know, that makes a big impact on your team. You know, the players really listen very carefully when somebody like that talks to them.
Yeah, Gary, Craig from Towson emailed, despite crushing the Big Ten every year, has the ACC lost some of its reputation? There was a time 8-8 would make an ACC team a lock for the tournament, but no longer.
Well, what's happened is there's more teams that have figured out that if they pour most of their resources into men's basketball and they can be successful, that will do a lot for their school. That will generate more applications, so they'll have, you know, a bigger pool to choose from. It'll draw national attention for their school. I think Butler and Davidson, two schools that we played in the NCAA 2 years ago, you know, are pretty good examples of that. And you didn't have that 10 years ago when teams 8-8 were pretty much a lock. Keith Booth's freshman year, along with Joe Smith, I think we were 8-8 in the ACC and went to the NCAA tournament and got to the Sweet 16. You know, football keeps adding more bowl games, and that's kind of their tournament at the end of the year. And the NCAA seems stuck on 64. And, you know, those people that are my age remember 16, 32, 48 with a play-in game, and then 64, now 65. And every time it was expanded, the reason was there was more good teams. And there's more good teams now than ever in college basketball. And yet we seem to be stuck on 64. And it'll keep teams from like Jimmy Paso's league. They probably deserve another team every year. That's a good basketball league that Loyola's in. But yet they're not going to get that extra game because it's locked at 64. And, of course, for the major conferences, you know, it's difficult to make it if you don't finish in that top four or five anymore. And, you know, you finish sixth. We tied for fifth last year in the ACC, but if you finish below fifth or whatever, it's going to be difficult to get in there, and you could be 500, you know, finishing sixth in our league this year.
Go ahead, Dino.
Coach, can a four-guard offense be effective in long stretches during a game, or is it really only effective in short spurts?
Well, if you look at Villanova, I think that's the best example. You know, the Big East talks about all their good teams, and Villanova the last few years has really been effective playing that way. I'd like to be able to do both, to tell you the truth, to throw four guards out there. But like you said, if the team starts to figure it out or whatever, still be able to come in with the big people. And I still believe offensively you have to get the ball inside. Now, whether you get it inside to a guard who can make a play. See, a guard that's a good ball handler can make a play in the paint just as easily as they can make a play on the perimeter. And, you know, I've had guys like that in the past that have really been effective. Juan Dixon, I think people remember, he was a great inside scorer, even though he was, you know, 6'2", 170 pounds. But he knew how to use the glass. He knew how to use his body. He'd get to the foul line. And, you know, you want the versatility out of your players. And I think we have some guys this year with experience and that are pretty versatile out there.
Coach, you have, again, this is my one Terp Talk with Bruce Posner. We have Coach Gary Williams from Maryland on the phone with us. Coach, Vermont, Michigan State, possibly Gonzaga or Oklahoma State, and then Michigan and George Washington. Why don't you schedule something a little bit harder?
Yeah, that's a pretty tough stretch. And, ACC, it's interesting. But, you know, you want to play those games, and we've been able to play those games. I mean, it's something we look forward to. I think our fans do, too. So we have some good home games this year outside the league in Michigan. UNC Charlotte comes in a return game where we went down there last year. GW at the Verizon Center is always a tough game because they happen to get up for that game for sure. And so, you know, we want to be tested, you know, and we certainly will with that schedule. But I'm looking forward to the Disney tournament. That's really the first thing that you see there that really comes up. And Michigan State's going to be picked top 10 in the country, first or second to Big Ten. And, of course, Oklahoma State or Gonzaga will be tough in that second game.
I greatly look forward to that game. A couple more, and I'll let you go. Win or lose, Coach, it seems like you love the press conferences, okay? And you make them somewhat enjoyable just by your quick wit. You know, I enjoy them all the time. But how did it feel to be on the other end of the fence at the golf tournament when you were quizzing the players? I thought you did a nice job.
Hey, thanks. That's never hurts to have a backup, if you know what I mean. The golfers are, you know, you watch those guys and, you know, you see them up close and firsthand and you realize just how good, I mean, just the sound of the ball is different, you know, when they hit it as opposed to somebody like me. And, you know, it's still a competitive thing that they're in. And I try to get inside their heads just like what makes them so good, how they compete so well. And, you know, golf, you know, when you think about it, it's you playing against 143 other guys in most tournaments. And, you know, that's tough, and you have to please yourself. You know, in basketball, if you get away with holding the guy's shirt when he cuts, do all that. And golf, you know, you can't. You got to please yourself. You know, you got to call penalties on yourself. And it's really a tough mental game. And, you know, you've all seen just bad bounces cost guys tournaments, or somebody throws in a 50-foot putt to beat you, and you have to be able to handle that mentally. So it's interesting to talk to them, just see, you know, how tough they are.
You had a great interview with Jim Furyk. You were really putting them on the spot, and I think he enjoyed it somewhat. But I just remember watching that, and I was thinking about you on the other end.
Yeah, look, just so you guys in Baltimore know, Furyk's a big Steelers fan. He told me that.
Now I don't like him anymore, okay? I used to like him, but now I don't like him. Gary, I'm going to wrap it up. Almost every sport at Maryland derives its benefit, and in some cases, its existence from the revenue generated by the basketball team. Again, I commend you for these efforts and your fundraising abilities, and I really appreciate you calling in.
Bruce, thanks a lot for having me on your show. Look forward to doing it again.
My pleasure, Gary. Thanks a lot, partner.
Thank you.
Okay, and what can I say?